The Blast from Our Past Network.
Talking Back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Talking Back. Tim and Dean here. What's up, Dean?
Hey, what's up, Tim?
Hey, we're doing something new this week.
Yeah.
I like to say that. I like saying we're doing something new after all this time.
After all this time. We've never done it.
We've been podcasting for half a decade. And we've never done this before.
Whoa. Don't say it like that.
We're old, Dean. Face the facts. We're old.
No.
We're wrinkly. No, I don't think we're wrinkly yet.
When you say we've never done this before, do you just mean like this specific television show?
Well, I mean that, and I mean that this is kind of like a new mini-series, if you will.
Okay, okay, like, cool, yeah.
Because we're going to adventure into the 80s.
Yeah,
and
got it.
We're going to check out first episodes from 80s cartoons.
Cool, and yeah, because we've done TV before, so I was just confused.
Right.
For a little bit there.
Sorry, I didn't fill you in ahead of time.
No, you didn't let me know what this episode was all about. I'm very confused.
Yeah, no, that's okay. If only you had the Eye of Thundera to let that help you understand what I was talking about. That would have shown you what I was talking about.
Yeah.
But what
obviously
what I mean is we're going to check out first episodes of some cartoons, and we'll see how long that goes for, because I feel like some of them might be really hard to find. So this could go on.
Right, yeah.
This will go on as long as we can go on with it. Let's just say that.
I think there's a lot of cartoons in the 80s. So
well, no,
I think there'll be a lot of things to cover.
I know that, but I don't know how many are accessible.
Yeah.
Like for us to watch. Like this one. I guess it was easy to find, but it wasn't like readily available on multiple sources. You know, but
you can you could rent episodes on iTunes. And if you can rent episodes on iTunes, like then it's easy. It's easy to find.
That's true. Okay, high roller over there.
Why don't we just buy the box sets
of all of them and review the first episode?
Hey, let's do that.
Cool. Well, for all you people riding your lawnmowers right now who don't know the title of this episode, we're going to kick this off with one of the best 80s cartoons, and it goes by the name of Thundercats. Ho.
Man.
Boom.
Boom.
I feel like the entire listening population right now, I feel like they all got up out of their seats and started applauding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like they had to rip out their earphones because they couldn't take it anymore. They're just dancing. They couldn't even believe it. So we should wait till they compose themselves. They're done their dance moves. They're done just like letting it all out there. And then they'll sit down. They'll put the earphones back in. So we should wait for them to come back.
Yeah, those lawnmower people are just noticing how far away their lawnmowers are from them right now because they got
off. They just let it go.
They got off and they're dancing. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, shit. It's going into the neighbor's yard.
Yeah. So we let them catch that. Let them catch the lawnmower.
Yeah. So we're covering season one, episode one of Thundercats. It's titled Exodus. It came out in 1985. This, now it might be a bit early to say this because it's the first one of these we're doing, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. This might be my favorite opening from a cartoon.
Yeah.
This opening rocks.
Yeah.
Great song.
Do you just mean the song? The song or
no,
like
the
like,
entire
okay,
opening.
So like the opening too, like the song and the like introduction type part.
Yes, the opening.
Yeah. But like do you mean like the actual do you mean like the actual episode
no,
or just
no.
the like okay, got it, got it.
The opening, what do you call it? The opening to the cartoon.
I think you're right. I think it's just called the opening.
I don't know what you call it.
I was.
Well, they played the song and it's the thing you see every time, episode after episode. But the song is amazing. They give each character a chance to show off their skills in the opening.
Oh, yeah.
So you like right away, you know what these characters can do. And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. This is awesome. Look what that cheetah chick can do. She's fast as fuck. Look at her go.
Yeah.
Look at the Panthro. What kind of car is that he's driving? I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah.
Right?
Very
a man
cool.
tiger? Where did he go? He's gone. I'm not done yet.
Tim,
I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
You get to see almost all of the bad guys. Like they're all there.
Oh, awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
They show you the Thundercats headquarters. And they take you to Mumra's pyramid. They kind of like give you everything you need to know in this really quick, like 30-second opener. And that's why it's my favorite so far.
So far, yeah. We'll see. We'll
episode.
See what else comes. But so
here's
far.
Here's why I'm saying
this
is because when I watched it, I was like, holy shit, this opening is amazing. It struck me. And I've watched openings from other cartoons, you know, recently, and I've seen what they have to offer. It was not this. This was something special. So I thought I'd call out to it.
Yeah. Great call out. So I should probably say at this moment in time, I've never seen an episode of Thundercats in my life.
I kind of figured that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I had. I thought this would be something that I just would remember. I knew that like logo. And I think that's just because maybe you had some toys of it.
I did have
some
toys.
So I'd seen it.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
So I'd seen it around. So I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. I know what Thundercats are. I've seen that before. Starting this opening right away, I knew I had never seen it before. I've never seen this opening before. And it was awesome. I was totally into it right away. I wanted to know who everyone was, what they were doing, what is even going on. I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about this show. And it became clear to me when that opening started. So, it was great. Hooked me right away. And you know, this whole episode's amazing. It never let me go.
Yeah, no doubt. The first thing that really caught my attention in this episode was that the Thundercats start off the series naked.
Yeah, I know. That definitely caught my attention.
This was so strange. Like,
yeah,
nobody has nipples. Nobody has genitals, but they're all naked.
No.
They are not wearing anything.
Yeah.
Except the leader, Jaga. Or Jaga.
Right.
He's fully clothed. And this unfortunately gave me a very like culty vibe. Like he's the leader.
Shit.
They all must worship him and be naked at all times. And only
honestly?
Only he has the power to bestow clothing upon them when he deems it necessary.
He gives that vibe off for sure. This is something I clocked immediately is that they were all naked.
You can't not clock it.
That,
it's so strange.
No.
I mean, they hit you with
so
Chitara
strange.
Right away. Huge crush on her on my behalf.
Oh, I mean,
and she's naked.
Yeah. She's naked.
Like,
what?
Well, sorry.
It's
her and Panthro are wearing belts.
Yeah, just belts.
Yeah.
That's a move. Hey, just belts.
That's a flex right there.
That's a flex.
I'm naked.
We're just going to
accept my belt.
What are those belts holding up? Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
What is it? It's just an accessory.
It's just to be cool.
It's just like wearing a hat
totally
or earrings or something.
Worked too. Like they looked so much cooler than Tigra.
They look great.
Oh man, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely strange right away, having the one guy being the only one who's wearing clothes. And he's like got lots of clothes on. Like, he's even got a cape. He's just like got multiple pieces going. That makes it more weird. You know, if they're all naked, then you're like, all right, it's just like they're cats and that's what they do. But like, why is the one guy wearing clothes and everyone else is naked?
Well, he was very fashionable too. So it's not like, okay, yeah, clothing doesn't exist in this world. Like, fashion seems to be a big deal. Like, he was very handsomely put together with his outfit, you know? He probably spent a lot of time choosing it out, choosing it for that day. So clothing seems very important in this world. He just doesn't let the other people wear anything.
Yeah. I wonder if he wears belts over top of his clothes or if he also has just, like, a belt underneath. Like, after he takes off his shirt, he's just got a belt under his shirt.
I don't know. And we'll never know.
Because
he's
dead.
We'll
never know.
He died in his first episode.
And he just disappears.
Yes, he disappeared.
He just Obi-Wan Kenobi disappears.
Yeah, really. That truly did happen. All right. Well, before we get a little bit further there into the episode, this series, Thundercats, was produced by Rankin and Bass. And they produced a lot of animated Christmas specials, actually. Dean, we might have some more fuel for our Christmas episode fire.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
Because, yeah, they did a bunch of stop-motion Christmas movies in the 70s.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was very pleased to unturn that little gem right there. I was nice. Starting to run low on terrible Christmas movies to review.
Right, yeah.
Rankin Bass also did the animated version of The Hobbit. I'm sure you've seen that. Or know of it. Like,
yeah.
It's like back from the 70s. It's like the terrible animation, but it's...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so not the Lord of the Rings one?
No, The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. Okay, yeah, okay. I know of it. I haven't watched it.
The Lord of the Rings one they did as well. So it's like Return of the King, I think. They did that as well, but The Hobbit's the one that I knew.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know... I hadn't seen The Hobbit one. But I know... Yeah, I know what it is.
They also did The Last Unicorn. They did...
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Smokey and the Bear show. Do you ever remember that show?
Yeah.
They did. Hold on. A fly just.
What was that?
There's a fly. I just killed a fly.
What?
It's the middle of winter here.
they're dead. What?
I just killed a fly. Well, not yet. Now I did.
I don't know where that came from.
This is the first time. Speaking of firsts. It's the first time I've ever killed a fly on the podcast.
Right. And it's not even summer.
It's not even fly season.
Wow.
This is alarming. Yeah. Maybe the flies are coming.
That may have been...
It's a scout. It was a scout. Yeah. Oh, no.
Exactly. That may have been a thunderfly.
Yeah. Now, Rankin Bass, they also did the show Silverhawks, and they also did Tiger Sharks. But Thundercats was their most popular.
I liked Tiger Sharks.
Yeah, Tiger Sharks was cool. Now, the characters were created by Tobin Wolf. Now, this is pretty interesting because this guy started off as an inventor. Then he moved into developing toys and games. And he just happened to sketch a group of superpowered animal-human hybrids and pitched the idea to a few different studios. And that turned into Thundercats.
Cool.
And, dude, I found this character sheet that he made. It is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'll post it on the socials, but
perfect.
Dude, I mean, I'm surprised he had to go like make more than one stop with this because the first place should have been like, oh yeah, this is a show. Like
we'll do it. Yeah.
The sketches look way better than the characters in the animation do. Like
interesting.
It's just like really, really cool comic book Thundercat art.
Yeah.
Oh dude, I'd love to have this thing blown up on my wall. It's just cool. It's so awesome. It was written by Leonard Starr, and he was an artist for EC Comics back in the 40s.
Nice.
He drew for Marvel in the 70s. He drew for DC in the 80s. He did the comic strip Little Orphan Annie in the newspapers. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah, no kidding.
He did Thundercats and Silverhawks, but that's all he did as a writer.
Oh, okay.
All his other stuff was art. So another kind of weird thing, like having a artist do the writing.
Yeah.
Music by Bernard Hoffer. And for how good the Thundercat theme is, I was expecting way more credentials out of this guy. But he's only done a handful of things and like nothing all that memorable, but obviously loved the song. And I thought the episode did a great job of sampling the intro song and like placing it in different places throughout the episode.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's always like a kind of like a pump up time. Like when you're in the episode and you hear the main theme kick in, you're like, shit's getting real here.
Yeah, I agree. They have such such key pump up moments for you. And yeah, as soon as it starts rolling in, like you can tell right away that it's rolling in.
Now, a little bit more background here. It was animated by Pacific Animation Corporation. They were a Japanese animation studio who also did Silverhawks. And they were bought out after Thundercats and Silverhawks. They were bought out by Disney and turned into Disney Japan.
Oh, cool.
And they would go on to make Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck.
Hey!
Two incredible shows.
I should have worn my Darkwing Duck shirt.
There's a couple of these are a couple of cartoons we can do the first episode of. It's going to be
awesome.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Character designs, I think, is important just to call out to because, man, did these characters look great?
Yep.
Like, they look amazing on screen. I actually had forgotten how great they look in the cartoon. And that translated really well into the toys. The toys looked awesome. And as you mentioned already, Dean, I had several of them.
Yeah.
They were all lost in the great toy purge of 93.
Oh, the dark day.
But when I got Mumra, I was so excited.
Yeah.
That was just my, like, that was the holy grail for me with the with the Thundercats toys. And man, I loved him to death. But he wasn't allowed to travel to another province with us, so we had to sell him for pennies.
Damn it.
We got pennies for him.
You probably bought some candy with that or something.
I don't even know what I did. I probably took all the money. I probably took all the money I made from that toy sale and burned it.
Right. Yeah, in the back.
So upset with what had happened.
Yeah.
Oh, crying. Totally. I'm crying.
Throwing dollar bills in, throwing $5 bills
in. In my pajamas, burning all the money in a bathtub, crying.
Yeah. That's your
we'll save this for a different episode.
That's your villain origin story right there.
Yeah. Sorry. This is the stuff I'm supposed to tell to my therapist, not
right.
Not to the listeners. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I as someone who hasn't seen the show, really loved the character design. I will say, I kind of knew nothing about it, and I thought I knew stuff about it. So like I would have said if you asked me before I turned it on, before I watched anything, that the Thundercats are like kind of giant tigers that people ride. That's what I thought this was. I didn't realize that it was like humanoid cat aliens that travel to Earth. Had no idea. And so to see that intro and see the cool characters and then to like watch them in the episode, yeah, the character design like dragged me right in. Like it was so interesting, the mix of humanoid and cat. Like I didn't know it'd be so sci-fi and yeah, I thought it would be fantasy kind of, but I didn't know it'd be so sci-fi. I didn't know they'd be like in space, like on a spaceship. I didn't know that was going to be it. So awesome looking characters for sure.
Yeah, I love them. Especially Chitara, if I haven't mentioned that yet.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, she's so hot.
I know.
For a female human like cheetah hybrid in a cartoon from the 80s, she's so hot.
It shouldn't be possible. It's a drawing of a cat person. She shouldn't be so hot.
I think it's because they right off the bat they hit you with she's just naked.
Naked right away. Go. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you want to know how to hook a bunch of
11
and 12 year olds for a cartoon?
Yeah.
First episode. Yeah. Naked Chitara.
Boom. I mean, you hooked a 37 year old. I was watching it and I was like, I'm interested to see where this episode goes. I'm interested.
So like what's going on in this episode is the Thundercats start off by watching their home planet Thundera explode.
Oh my goodness. This is wild. What a start.
Oh, great start. Dean, do you need more out of the explanation of what's happening Or are you okay with watching this planet explode and they just kind of like fully thrust themselves past that moment into the episode?
For me, it was such a perfect start because I was so shocked by it. Like, it was just, they wake up a kid out of bed and they're like, he should probably be present for this. They bring him on the bridge. They're in a spaceship. They bring him on the bridge and they're like, you see that right there? That's our planet. And then it explodes like that. Talk about hooking me. Like, if you gave me any sort of explanation, if you gave me them having to leave the planet, that's just starting like every other thing that I've seen where your planet blows up. Like, that's right. Exactly how they all start. This one, you wake a kid up, you bring him on the bridge and show his home planet explode. I'm like, whoa, this is, what a start.
I feel like that's something that Captain Taylor from the Planet of the Apes would have done.
He'd have been
look at this,
woken everyone up out of cryo.
Yeah. This is our planet, and it's blowing up, and everybody you knew is now dead, and you'll never see them again. They've all been reduced to dust.
Definitely.
That, for anybody who doesn't know, that was a really great Captain Taylor impression.
It was incredible, yeah. And Taylor would be the kind of person who would also make everybody on that ship just not wear clothes.
Right,
I'm the captain. I'm the captain. Everyone else is naked. That's just what happens here.
Yeah, it would have gotten very awkward between him and Chitara. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. He would definitely be going in for a kiss.
Oh, gross. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't need more out of this. Like, it already feels like they're just sort of like ripping off the Superman origin where the home planet
that's the thing. Yeah.
Dies. So I wanted to get your take on that, but I was also okay with it.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I think there's lots of other, there's Superman, obviously, is the big one, but I think there's other stories, too, where it's just like, yeah, the planet, you know, the planet blows up and you got to escape, and it's a great start, really, to the story, because you got to flee and you just have to, and like, this is, now we kind of know where they are just from that beginning, so yeah, I already kind of knew the feelings just by that part of it, just by that showing the kid the planet that blew up. And then you know that this kid's important too, because like he was supposed to watch this. He was supposed to watch this happen. So yeah, that was I loved that start.
This was my first clue in this episode to the fact that I believe the Thundercats to be all heartless bastards.
Mm.
Because they show zero emotion when the most tragic things occur.
Yeah.
And this was just the first one. This was just a sprinkle. I wasn't quite onto it yet, but it becomes abundantly clear later that they have no hearts. They have zero compassion, at least in this episode.
It really reminded me of like Star Trek. I think it was the Final Frontier when they like put it was like the Klingons planet or something, or their moon was exploding or something.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
They put the camera on them and the guy's just on, like half of his planet has broken off and has exploded. And he's just there. Yeah, everything's totally fine. We're okay here. We don't need any help. It's just like the coldness of it reminded me of that.
Yeah, there's nothing to see here.
No, nothing. We're okay. We're fine. I can see a chunk of your planet floating out of my window.
Yeah, I promise you, your screen is malfunctioning. Our planet is just fine.
We do not need you.
Is your ship on fire?
You can go home.
These are
home.
Not flames on my ship. Everything's cool. We're good. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for your concern.
I love that moment.
It's so funny.
We had a lot of fun with that on that episode.
It's such a good moment.
So they introduced the Sword of Omens that has the Eye of Thundera in it. And the Eye of Thundera is like a living thing. And they tell us it can provide sight beyond sight. Now, this sword for me, probably the coolest sword in the world. I don't know if I've ever seen a cooler sword. I always wanted the toy version of this. And they had one. And I believe it even like, you could even extend it like they do in the episode.
Yeah.
This was just a really hard toy to come across. There weren't a lot of them, and they were expensive. I don't even know anybody who had one, but damn, did I ever want one. I just wanted to hold it up to my face so bad and say those words.
But
one of the regrets of my life was I never was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pointing out like all the key moments. This is like the next one that I'm just so into because now I get this feel, you know, I have this Star Trek feel already because they're on this ship, and they're, you know, they all have their duties, and it's really feeling like a Star Trek crew. And then it starts to feel a little bit more like Star Wars, because it's more like they're putting some fantasy elements into it. They're, you know, they're there's a few more things, and then it gets to this where there's like a sword that is like a living thing that can expand. It has an eye. That's so fan. You know, that's getting even more into fantasy than Star Wars. That's getting more into like hard fantasy that I'm like reading books of right now. Actually, the book I'm reading right now has a sword that's super cool that like telepathically talks to one of the main characters. And it just reminded me so much of that. It's such a cool sci-fi idea that this sword is alive and can expand and can grant you like, you know, extra power. It was so awesome. I loved it.
So the Thundercats are in their ship, and there's a convoy of other ships that have fled this planet that exploded, right? They must have known about it.
Yeah, right.
So they've all escaped. And they're attacked by a bunch of mutants from the planet Plundar who want the Eye of Thundera for themselves. So Jaga takes this moment to bless the Thundercats with clothing and weapons.
Right.
It's time for them to get dressed. They need to fight.
Yeah.
Now, the Thundercats in their flagship, okay, they are flying. They seem to take it really well when the entirety of their convoy is destroyed. Every
Not a big deal.
Single other ship. Okay, I imagine there were hundreds, maybe thousands of their kind. The last remaining in the galaxy, they don't give two shits about it.
No. It's more just a fact. It's just something that happened. They're just delivering the information. Oh, it looks like they're targeting every ship except for ours. Here's why. So get ready. So here's some clothes.
Yeah. So point number two.
Yeah.
For soulless Thundercats.
Yeah.
So the bad guys board the ship. We get some action here. This is what we've been waiting for. We want to see what these characters can do.
Definitely.
And we get to see it. We get to see what everybody can pull off.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Right? Chitara is very fast. She like ropes three guys up.
Yep.
Tigra disappears. Very cool.
Awesome.
You have Wily Kit and Wily Cat. They kind of like use magic. They sort of like disappear in a ball of smoke.
Yeah.
Panthro gets a mace put through his hand. Right? Like he stops a mace with his hand, but a mace has spikes all over it. It's not like the side that he stopped in his palm didn't have spikes.
Right.
I just imagine that the spikes went through his hand and he still thought it to be funny.
Yes, for sure.
And then he crushed that mace. He's like,
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Can't stop me. He's power guy. So you got Fast Girl, you've got Invisible Man, you've got the power dude, and you've got a couple of kids who like to goof around and have like magic pills and stuff like that they use. So very cool.
Awesome.
I was very into it.
Yeah, it's like X-Men, you know, it's like the team where everyone's got the different powers and you get to see them. What do you want on the first fight? You want to see them all on display and you get to see them all on display.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So then one of the mutants, his name was Slythe. Very cool character design, lizardy type character, but a very like bulky guy.
Yeah.
This was another toy I really wanted, but was very hard to come by and I never got it. But this one, I was always looking for this one in stores.
That would be a great toy.
He comes on their ship with a fox-looking character. I'm not exactly sure what his name is. But they confront Lino, who is a kid. He's a child. And he can barely lift the sword. But then the sword does something magical. It shoots out the Thundercat logo, and Lino is able to lift it over his head. And man, like, these were really cool effects on this sword.
Oh, yeah.
It's glowing white. There's like lights and electricity blasting off of it. Looked great. But this is enough to scare all the bad guys off the ship.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering here, what was their plan? Like,
come
in and take the sword?
Yeah.
As long as it's empty in a room?
Yeah.
And but if even if a child is wielding it, we get
much.
Off. We leave, we get off the ship.
Yeah.
Like, is that the talk they had ahead of time?
Yeah. You think if that was the plan, you wouldn't just shoot down all 100 other ships first. You'd be a little more sneaky about it because it sounds like you need to sneak into that room.
I feel like they were still good. I feel like you just go and grab that sword out of that kid's hands and you're going to be just fine.
You're fine. Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I really liked the sword effects. Were they kind of like blur? It was kind of like blurring as well. It looked really cool.
Maybe, yeah. But the electricity was in like lots of like different shapes. Like there were like circles and lines and
yeah, cool.
It was very interesting.
I loved it. I would run away as well.
I mean, I guess I get it, but at the same time, like,
what was the plan?
I feel like they were the ones who blew up the planet, and now they've blown up everybody except a handful of that race. And you're just going to back off when a 12-year-old picks up a sword?
And the only plan was to get that sword. Like, that's the only reason that ship wasn't blown up, because they want the sword. And they walk into the room, and the youngest kid there picks it up, and they're like, we're out. That was not part of the plan.
Yeah, wow, he can pick it up. He picked it up. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, like, obviously someone's going to go to the sword right away when they know you're boarding the ship, when they know you killed 100 other ships.
Yeah, slowly back away, back and onto our ship, and let's get the fuck out of here. That kid picked it up.
Did you know he could pick it up?
And they're like, I'm with you, let's go! Let's get out of here! We're gonna die!
Tim, that's a really good 80s villain voice. Like 80s cartoon villain voice? That's perfect. You could have been on any of the shows. You could have been on like Transformers. You could have been on anything.
Thanks.
Turtles even, for sure. Oh, was that Transformers?
It's me, the lizard, the lizard Decepticon. Yeah. Let's get out of here. We're gonna die. I feel like it changed.
It did, yeah. It morphed in there.
I'd be the character who every episode sounds just a little bit different.
Just a little, yeah. Doesn't quite have it down.
Doesn't
still
belong.
Trying to find your voice.
Doesn't quite belong as a voice actor, but
yeah.
Is trying hard.
Yeah. And really will take that $5 check every day.
Yeah, totally.
Every time you're in there, you'll take that $5.
Or less, even.
Or less, yeah. You're just doing it to get your name out there.
Yeah. So the Thundercats, having their planet destroyed, they need to find a new planet. And Jaga finds one that's suitable. And the Thundercats go into suspension capsules while Jaga pilots the ship to the planet. Now, this was a very powerful moment, Dean. The most powerful moment in the show. Jago, he's telling them someone needs to pilot the ship to get it safely to the planet. The autopilot won't be enough. They can't trust it.
The robot pilot, I believe it was called.
Oh, the robot pilot. There's too much on the line to trust a robot.
Yeah.
So he himself must do it
at
the cost of his life.
Heroic.
It must be him. And with his dying breath, he puts the ship on autopilot or robot mode, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
Very good music playing. Very triumphant.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a shit that he was doing this.
No. No one cared.
One of the kid or cat, Wile E. Kid or Wile E. Cat, one of them was kind of like, you could see that they were a little bit emotional. They're like,
right,
I guess so. And then they went into their capsule and everyone else is just like,
yeah,
now it's time for me to get into my capsule. Goodbye, Jaga. No thank you or anything. Just like,
no,
that one's going to die now.
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep. Good night.
Honestly, it does sound even more like this is the cult now. And this was like he was going to be like, I have to stay on the ship. But then like what he was expecting was everyone else to be like, we will stay with you too, because we trust
totally.
You and we'll follow you. And then everyone was supposed to go down with the ship, but that didn't happen. They just peaced out.
Totally. Yeah. I get his clothes. I call his headband.
I want the cape.
I call his pants.
I want his undershirt belt.
Yeah. So they land on a new planet. Lion-O comes out of his suspension capsule, and he's all grown up now.
Cool.
And, of course, we all are questioning what just went down. And they answer our question with some voiceover from Jaga, and he says, some aging does take place in the suspension capsules.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that they actually explained what was going on.
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, I don't know, the kid was probably like, what, 10 or 12, and now he's like 20. So, some aging. The other characters were already adults, so they didn't change too much. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Also, I thought it was interesting that he like couldn't really remember a lot of stuff because it happened so long ago. Like, so not only did he age, but like his brain aged that much, and he was like trying to remember things that happened 10 years ago, even though it wasn't really that long. So I thought that was just a little interesting thing to throw in there.
That's a really good point. I didn't really think too much on that one, but
yeah,
it is interesting what they did there with the suspension capsule.
Yeah. Could you think of like, if you slept for 10 years and then you'd wake up and be like, what was the last podcast we recorded? What was that again?
Dude, I'll sleep for 8 hours and I'll wake up and I'm just like, what the fuck day is it?
What happened yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. Where am I? What is going on? So yeah, 10 years. Holy man.
Of course. Yeah.
I didn't consider that. That's a very good point. I like it. The mutants are back and they beam down to this planet.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
I don't know.
Walk me through.
They were just still following them?
Yeah. Walk me through how the mutants get there moments after the Thundercats land.
Yeah, I just rolled with it, but yeah, right away. They're there right away.
Did they all hop in suspension capsules? Did they have a Jaga who sacrificed his own life to pilot them to the ship? Do they have a robot pilot as well? They were all just thinking the exact same thing at the exact same second. Giving me a little bit of a buffer here. Just throw something in, like, give us a 5-second scene of these mutants being like, oh, we have found them. They're on this planet. Let's go there.
I wonder if the mutants cared more about their captain that went down with the ship. Maybe they had very tearful goodbyes to that captain, and then they got beamed down and they're even more angry now because their captain had to die for it. Yeah.
I feel like that.
I would like to see that. Yeah.
I feel like that is what happened. So the ghost of Jaga shows up to remind Lion-O about the sword. Lion-O holds it up and asks for sight beyond sight. And the sword reminds him of the other Thundercats who are still in their capsules. And Lion-O uses the sword to wake them up. The Thundercats jump into action and they kick some fucking ass.
They kick some fucking ass, is right.
The mutants run away when one of them gets smoke blown in his eyes.
Yeah.
So again, I'm going to ask, what was the plan here?
No smoke.
Fight for your lives and to the death unless they have smoke or dust.
Yeah.
Because if they have dust, it's all over. If there's a 12-year-old boy who can lift a sword or dust, we leave.
Yeah.
Anything else, we stay.
What if they have dust? Nobody has dust.
Nobody has dust.
No, we destroyed dust long ago. Ah, they have dust!
Run!
Beam us to the ship! Oh no, that one got dust on him. Leave him behind!
Well, the Thundercats, we get to see them. We got to see them do all their stuff again. 2 times we got to see them all use their powers.
Awesome.
Very exciting. Very cool.
Yeah.
The Thundercats are all very impressed with Lion-O now, who's a grown man. Tigra. I thought Tigra had some hungry eyes for Lion-O.
Oh, yeah.
When he saw Lion-O.
Hungry eyes for sure. Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to try to post a clip of it, but there's like one frame.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's looking at Lion-O and he's like, whoa, like this is right up my alley.
Yeah.
It was, I was laughing. It was quite funny.
Yeah.
But, that's Tigra and the rest of the Thundercats are all very impressed with Lion-O's new physique and the end.
Excellent. So good.
Loved it, man. It's such a great episode.
I loved it. Honestly, it was like a higher quality of a show than I thought I could get out of an 80s cartoon.
Yeah, I think we're going to be surprised as we go through some of these, because I think there's going to be a lot of these cartoons that are kind of quality.
Yeah. Because I've gone back and watched a lot of 90s cartoons that I used to watch as a kid. I didn't really watch a lot of 80s cartoons because that's not when I was a kid. I was a kid in the 90s. So I've gone back and watched a lot of the 90s cartoons. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, it's not great. I know why I liked it and I enjoy it now for the nostalgia, but it's not the greatest piece of, you know, television. This show was so good. Like, I was hooked right away and I was hooked the whole time. It is incredible.
Yeah, I was in love with this show.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It was a bit tough to find. It was at a bit of a tougher time for me to watch. And I remember, I remember there were times when I got pulled away from the TV. And I remember like following storylines. There's a really cool storyline where I don't know when it happens. It probably happens fairly early in the series. But Lion-O has to prove himself as the leader. So he has to go one-on-one against each of the Thundercats and beat them.
Damn.
And each one was an episode. And I was I was trying to track that.
Yeah.
And I missed a couple of the episodes and I was just destroyed because I just wanted to see like how cool it would be. What's Lion-O going to do to like, you know, beat this character? And I missed some and I was devastated.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But yeah, I would like to pick up the Blu-ray set of this. It's just so expensive.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe I'll get a side job as a voice actor on some shitty show.
Maybe. Hey. Yeah.
Work for a year save up enough to get the Thundercats disc and then
Any year you could record like 250 episodes of some cartoon and then boom, you're golden.
Yeah, I could have $100.
Exactly. That's got to be enough, right?
Yeah, $100 will do.
Okay, perfect.
$90 maybe, $90 or $100.
Easy.
Cool. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, if you'd like to help support us here, if you liked this episode and you want to hear more, well, we're going to do more anyways. But if you like this episode, share it with a friend. Tell someone about Talking Back. You can leave a review or click the like button on your favorite podcast app. You can head on over to buymeacoffee.com and leave a donation of any amount of money. You can check us out on Patreon. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff going on over there. And you can check us out on YouTube in a bit of a different format. We are called Demo Dash on YouTube, and we're playing through demos from the Nintendo store, and we're trying to beat them in 20 minutes. But we're just like opening up people's eyes to free demos and the quality of free that's out there. There's so much free stuff on that store. I could probably never buy a game again and just play video games all the time.
Yep.
So we're trying to share some of that with people. So check that out. And now that this episode's over, don't worry. Head on over to bfopnetwork.com. Check out one of the other amazing nostalgia-based podcasts in our network. We promise you'll find something that you like. It's inevitable. Now, Dean, do you think anybody's listening anymore?
We did this last episode. They might shut it off once you start thanking people.
I
don't need to hear that.
I think so. So I feel like having a bit of fun again. And if there's anybody around still listening, I want to spoil the next episode for everybody.
I like this new thing, this new mid-credit stinger.
Now, I don't think it's going to, I don't know how long it'll go on for, but I just think it's fun because, I mean, I don't even listen to the end of podcasts. I skip out for this bullshit stuff, but I'm going to, for a while, I think I might just hide little nuggets at the end here.
I like it.
For the people who stick around to listen, to hear. So next week, earlier in December, we did a movie neither of us had seen. We loved the hell out of it. We wanted to continue with the series. Next week, Rambo First Blood Part 2. We're
hell
checking
it
out. Cannot wait.
Yep.
Dean, thanks for joining.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
I'm John, and I'm the host of Action Action. Every week, I'm joined by James.
Heyo.
And Dustin.
Hello.
And each week, we review, debate, and rank a different action movie.
We're creating the ultimate list of action movies.
From awful to awesome.
So if you want to hear three more white guys with beards talk about action movies
and argue about where they belong on our list,
and decide you hate us because we made fun of your favorite movie.
Join us every Tuesday, and you can find us on your favorite podcatcher.
And Steven Seagal is a joke.